You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Alright. So where are we at? Okay. You got that. Verify recording. Recording. Okay. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, insert bumper, blah, blah, blah.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Well, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? That's right, listener. Dave is back because Scott and Rose are trying to dump me with Jason from Rediscover the 80s. They thought they can find a new overlord. Didn't happen. Daddy's back in town, kids. So, yeah, I'm on.
Wow.
Didn't see that coming, did ya? Did ya?
Didn't see that one coming.
So Scott and Rose are, Scott's online.
Hello.
And Rose is online.
Hey y'all.
Yeah. Good luck with trying to replace me. Didn't work. So I've killed Jason. No, I didn't mean that. That's not nice. Because after all, you know, what you guys don't know is that we rigged the Jeopardy game so that he was like feeding me answers like through Instant Messenger. I wasn't supposed to say that on the show. Sorry, never mind. Everybody forget what you just heard. Reverse. We're all good now. All right, so today's episode we're going to be talking about the 1996 movie Independence Day. So some of you guys may have seen this thing where there's like these aliens attack us and we have to rely on Will Smith and Bill Pullman, Jeff Goldblum to save the day and
Harry Connick.
Yeah, Harry Connick, of course, Randy Quaid. You know, we have to rely on this great ensemble cast to fight back the aliens. And we're not forgetting Brent Spiner either, who is just classic in this movie. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Independence Day, and what had happened was I sent a message to both Rose and Scott, said, hey, you know, we should talk about a movie, and I was throwing out 90s movies, and they ignored all of them, and they went down this road. So, Rose, you were big on Independence Day. Please tell me it's not just because of Jeff Goldblum.
No, it's not. He helps. He definitely helped, but no, the premise of this movie is amazing. I just, you know, I think it was very, it was a long time coming. And I honestly will take, my reputation and say that any science fiction alien coming to the Earth and we kick their ass movie all has to come back to this one. Because it set the precedence.
I agree. This one was fun.
Well, I mean, didn't we see something like that with Predator? Not to the scale.
Yeah.
Not to the same scale. Yeah. But,
no,
I mean...
Because
You had an alien coming down and kicking ass.
Yeah, but it's just the one.
True.
I'll and it's that. Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he's not going to let anybody help him do anything.
Come on. All right, so yeah, there's so much to talk about with this movie, and I wasn't even sure about which, like, you know, which way to go with this. So I'm thinking we're going to start with our favorite supporting character. So Rose, who would it be, if we're not talking about Will Smith, who is your favorite supporting character in this movie?
Really?
Well, all right, Jeff Goldblum. And just for the listener, you know, if you're not on Twitter, we seem to have this fanatical thing happening on Fridays, whereas traditional you would have a hashtag FF or fan follow Friday, but somehow it has morphed, you know, with our collaborator Jill and Rose and a bunch of others, where it's now become hashtag FF. Is it Goldblum Day or?
It's Jeff Goldblum Day.
Jeff Goldblum Friday.
Jeff
Goldblum Friday. So somehow this has been an ongoing thing, and I forget how many weeks we're into this, but it's not going away. And I'm really curious as to know what it is about Jeff that is really rocking everybody. So, well, you're on the hook now because you're Jeff Goldblum army.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And you know,
is he hot?
He's hot.
Okay.
He's educated. He's talented. I mean, he's a triple threat. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he's a musician. Okay, that's four things. But he just really is very well-rounded. And he's quirky. He can do the handsome male lead, you know, in a romantic comedy or maybe a drama. Even in this movie, you know, he's got some backstory with, you know, the gal that is the secretary, Constance.
Yeah, Mary McDonnell.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. I know a little bit about his history as not an actor, I guess. I've been a huge Jeff Goldblum fan for a few decades now. And he just gets better. And I've often said this, there's only really one movie that I can't watch that he's in. And he plays the devil. And it's extremely frightening. Now, honestly, it's not gory or morbid or anything like that. He's just really makes you believe that's who he is. And it's kind of unsettling.
What's that one called? I don't know that one.
Well, see, now you're going to make me look it up. It happened back in the 80s. I want to say it was Mr. Something. But he's been in so many things. He was on TV when he first started out. Now in 2010, I'm keep going. 2004, 2002. Wow. 97. Yeah, he did that.
Mr. Frost?
Is it?
Well, there's one from 1990 called Mr. Frost. I don't know if that's the movie you're talking about.
Let me see.
Yeah, they just call him Mr. Frost in the credits.
Yeah. 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 It was just very, whether he is the devil or he seems like he's the devil, he's the devil. So it's a very, very scary movie. At least for me. Maybe other people can watch it and be like, oh no, I thought that was a great movie. But he has some very interesting flavor to Independence Day, I think. Because he's a tortured soul, for one, because of his separation, you know, from his wife. And he's obviously thrown himself into his work, and all of a sudden he comes across all these strange readings and everything, and then all of a sudden there's like stuff nobody knows about, and he has to get to the White House, and his dad, that guy that was in that thing.
John Hirsch.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your patience.
Homeboy from Taxi.
Yeah,
homeboy.
He made like the perfect death.
Or
for
Dear
him.
John, whichever you want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I don't really care for Dear John. But he makes the perfect father for him, because whereas, you know, he keeps him grounded to an extent, but he's like, you know, so, you know, trust me, son. You know, they have bigger fish. I like how he says that, you know, if they need cable, they'll call you. Because even though he knows what his son does, he really doesn't believe in what his son does. You know, as far as he's concerned, he's installing cable in people's houses, and it's a little bit more expensive than that. But
yeah, wasn't he like, so, he's like an MIT graduate or something like that, and he's working with a cable company?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it happens. There's plenty of people out there graduated from like Columbia or Harvard or something, or not doing what they're supposed to. But
okay. So this is the part of the show where we get a confession that Jeff Goldblum is hot by Scott. No?
Didn't see that coming, dude.
Well, we were talking about him being a triple threat. I just wanted to know if you concur with Rose on that. Do you think?
I don't know. You know,
I don't see the hot factor.
So
that's the part that I'm surprised about this whole Twitter thing.
I'm a little bit surprised by it too. Like, I'm like, I don't understand the fascination with him. I mean, yeah, he's a pretty good actor. He's, for me, he's been kind of hit or miss. Like, there's been a few movies that I'm like, okay, oh yeah, I love Jeff Goldblum. He's great in that. Or he was just, you know, he was in that. Do you know what I mean? It's like, either he was really good in it, or he was just in it. It was part of, you know, he's a supporting act or whatever. I did like him as the Fly, though. I will tell you, I did like him as the Fly.
Yeah.
But like, I understand the importance of his role in this movie, but it definitely wouldn't fall into my favorite supporting actor. But I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. I just watched the Buckaroo Banzai, and his cowboy getup in that thing was weird. Okay. That's just weird. I don't know why he was dressed like that all the time. I still haven't figured it out. But it's just,
he's trying to become a member of the band. Come on. Don't all rockers dress like that?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've heard of village people, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was weird.
Well, consider, you know, the character that he is. He's the nerdy brain surgeon that just happens to work with Buckaroo, you know, as a brain surgeon. And he's trying to become a, you know, member of these cool Hong Kong Cavalier band guys. So, you know, of course he's going to overdo it, you know? And
it's funny. He always plays like a thinker.
Yeah.
You know, like even if you go back to like the Big Chill.
Okay. Yeah.
Even his character in that was like, even though he was strung out on coke because they were all partying too much, but he was thinking, like he was very intense conversations, and his character was just like very intelligent and talking through things and thinking things out and figuring things out. And then you jump forward to like Jurassic Park, where he's like chaotic physicist or something like that, whatever he was, chaotic math. I can't remember what exactly it was.
Chaos.
Right. Where, you know, you drop a drop of water goes onto your hand and it could go every which way to put the wrinkles on your hand or some weird crap like that. And then in this one, you know, he figures out that the aliens are sending him a countdown timer.
Right.
And it, which is funny because today earlier, I looked at the clock and I saw it was 5:30. And I'm like, oh, I have 3 hours. The countdown timer starts now. Because I'm thinking about Independence Day. which this is very good timing that we're going to cover this movie because, you know, 4th of July is coming up in about a week and a half. So if we plan it right, this might be released the week of 4th of July, which is Independence Day, which I don't know if I can't remember if that was actually the day that all of this was supposed to go down in the movie. Is that it?
Yes.
Or were they, was yeah. it?
Well, I mean, okay. That's when the, I think the assault started the day before, but the 4th is when they got all the forces united and they started their ongoing assault. And then that's when you get the, you know, the big speech from.
Right. I was trying to figure out which days it kind of worked out. I haven't seen it in a good 10 years. But I still love the movie. Anyway, let's go on. Anyway, what was your question? Was Jeff Goldblum hot?
That's exactly where that started. But no, really, it's the, you know, I guess I'm helping to kind of frame up the, you know, why is he getting so much popularity amongst the ladies on, you know, in our Twitter world, you know, and I mean, Rose summed up her feelings towards Jeff, but, you know, I'm trying to, mine are probably somewhere in between Rose and Scott, you know, where I appreciate his acting skills and I appreciate pretty much every movie I've seen him in, but I don't get the hot factor. But, you know, I'm a dude, so, you know, maybe, you know, that, it just doesn't work with me. Even though, you know, there's some dudes out there that, you know, I could see why women would be like, yay, but, you know, I don't see it with Jeff. So, and just to go on one step further, though, from in this movie, though, the context of the movie, there is one scene that Jeff is responsible, his character is responsible for uploading the virus to the computer for the aliens. And he's able to do that with his current technology. That's where I got to say bullshit. So,
I call bullshit.
So, that's not going to happen in that time frame that they had, you know, the few minutes there. So, it was comedy gold between him and Will Smith where they were like, you know, where there was like, uh-oh. And then, like they get into this big drama about, you know, how to define uh-oh. You know,
oh, right.
So I thought that part was funny, but you know, it was like all of a sudden, oh no, everything's okay now. I got the, you know, I'm able to use my Apple computer and upload virus to a alien mainframe or something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm sure it was with the FireWire too, right? Because the aliens have the FireWire built into their mainframe.
I'm sure it was USB. Anyway, we're going to geek out now.
Or I'm sorry, lightning. Is it lightning?
The lightning cable. Yeah, the lightning cable. That was before it was a thing, because this is 96.
So it was like the wide one.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just a little bit of hazing for that moment. But overall, though, I thought it was, you know, his contribution to the movie, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the, you know, here's this smart guy that catches, you know, what everyone else might be missing, and then, you know, kind of takes it upon himself to use his connection, you know, with Mary McDonald's character to, you know, get the message to the president.
You know, my favorite scene with Jeff Goldblum actually is his interaction with Harvey Firestein. Or Marty Gilbert is the character,
right?
And Harvey's like, I gotta call my mother.
Yeah.
Or I gotta call my lawyer. Oh, forget about my lawyer. But that little interaction, you know, like his, like when Jeff explains it to him that it's a countdown, and Harvey's face is just like, oh, what? Oh my god.
Yeah.
And Jeff's reaction is just like it was just like. It was like stoic, you know, it was like very matter of fact, and just that interaction was one of my favorite parts, actually. It always pops into my head.
So if you had a favorite supporting character, who would you pick, Scott?
I'm going to go, I think I got to go Randy Quaid.
Yeah, I could see you picking that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I like him in a lot of things that he's done, and his role was very important in the movie. And, you know, he's drunk and flying a plane and doing, you know, crop dusting, on the wrong crop or something. And it's because he was abducted by aliens originally. And that's why he has problems. And yeah. And for him to be the one at, you know, at the end of the movie to actually like sacrifice himself mm-hmm. to, blow up the main ship or something. Or yeah, his character was funny in that. He did a really good job. Funny stuff. This movie, it's really cool. What I love about this movie, it's serious. It's a drama, mm-hmm. science fiction drama, but it's got a lot of comedy in it. Mm-hmm. Like all the one-liners that are in this thing are, you know, there's a bunch of them, and just the lightheartedness of being attacked by this insane alien race that's going to wipe us out, you know, and we can't attack their ships. And it's just a lot of funniness in it. And then, you know, Will Smith was still kind of on the comedy train at that point too.
Yeah, he was, he definitely had, kind of serious kind of comedy mixed in mm-hmm. with this role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm going to go with Randy Quaid or Russell Case.
So what about you, Rose? What do you think of Randy?
I think he played a very poignant role in this movie, mainly because he got to, unfortunately, experience the aliens firsthand initially, and no one believed him. And so when it came time for them to get back and regroup, I think he figured that what better way for him to retaliate for all the years that, you know, they messed him up from what they did. And I guess at some point, you know, when he did make his, you know, he said, you know, he's gonna take this, you know, tell my kids I love them, you know, and he's flying off into the sunset and he's like, oh boys, I'm back. You know, it's very kind of, you know, he realizes his kids are older. They really don't need him. He hasn't really done a whole lot for them, in his time since, you know, he came back, and it's just something he realizes he needs to do. And I think, given that opportunity, I don't know how many people would have actually taken it. You know, I think he realizes that he was pretty useless to people after that. And even though he kept trying to struggle through life, but to be able to make up for it in that way, I thought that was very commendable.
Second movie, actually, where he's actually been driving an RV.
Cousin yeah. Eddie. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A crappy RV at that. And I always like the scene of seeing all those RVs driving through the desert out to the base.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And setting up camp right outside the base.
Great. Great stuff.
Yeah, I appreciated the storyline of what happened with his character. Exactly what you had said. You had this town screw up, you know, and you know his disappointment to his kids because he's probably always drunk and, you know, just screwing up, you know, because of that, you know, the stress or the what life had dealt him. And then he had that moment, that defining moment to, you know, just step up and be, you know, a hero. and mm-hmm. he took it, and that's just wonderful storytelling. So the people that wrote that that story arc, mm-hmm. well done. And then Randy just played it to the hilt because of the comedy factor. You go from talking about the being probed up his butt by aliens, for a lot of the movie, and then finally he gets to use airplane to probe them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it was really kind of very poignant.
The irony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I enjoyed his character, and in a lot of ways he was kind of a cousin Eddie of sorts in this one.
Huh. Yeah. He definitely was another piece of comic relief in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was picking a favorite supporting character, I've got to go with Brent Spiner, who played a Dr. Brackish Oaken.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found humorous about him is because, all those years beforehand, I had seen him as Lieutenant Commander Data in Star Trek The Next Generation, and he was, very much the scientific Spock kind of character, trying to, without emotion. And mm-hmm. then, you just had this unkempt scientist who, he'll just say off the wall things like, well, they don't let us out very much. it's just humorous. And, anytime somebody has got a new piece of the equation that he didn't already know about for these aliens, because he's been studying for years, it's kind of like he's a kid in a toy store. Tell me more. Oh my God, really? You saw them do that? Yeah. It was just like this childlike amazement, for these things that he's been studying all along. And then mm-hmm. now there's something new happening, and his way, his reactions, his intensement for it, oh my God, this is so cool, you could see it, you could just read it in him, and he just played it so fun and well, and being the scientist, and that's all he's doing is studying these guys, these aliens, and that's it, that's his life. Suddenly this was, the greatest show on earth for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed him. So Scott, what do you think about Brent?
I like his character. As you're talking, you mentioned there's more comedy. So I'm starting to think more about this movie. Like, is it really a sci-fi or is this a comedy? Is this overall a comedy? Mm-hmm. Like, have you guys ever seen Evolution with David Duchovny?
I think I watched it once.
Back in the day. I don't remember a lot of details from it, though.
It's actually really funny. It's really, and it was right at the time when X-Files was kind of wrapping up, and he was still, riding that train. And it's, it's this alien situation, but it's really, now that is definitely comedy. Okay, it's a comedy, where this mm-hmm. one, I always saw it as like this fantastic adventurous sci-fi, but the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, there's a lot of funny stuff in this movie mm-hmm. that really turns it kind of towards comedy than anything. And even with Data or Dr. Oaken or whatever his name is, even the little bits that you mentioned where he has like these little one-liners that are like, yeah, they never let us out. It's funny. Or it was really creepy when the alien actually put him up against the wall and took over his voice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was scary.
That was kind of radical, but it was cool. And I think I always think it's funny when the movie makers kind of play off of people's previous life, in the movies, like Data was you know, on Star Trek. So it's kind of ironic that he's playing the scientist that's studying aliens, you know?
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was perfect casting. Which I want to kind of talk about is the rest of the cast. Like, this cast is unbelievable. This has got a great lineup of people in it that we can only touch on a few of the main ones, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you were going to go down that route yet, Dave, or if you wanted to continue to talk about.
I was done with supporting characters. I was going to talk about Will, but I mean, if you want to talk about the ensemble, that works for me.
Well, I mean, like we mentioned, Judd Hirsch. Bill Pullman's name hasn't even come up yet. You know, you got Mary McDonnell as the first lady. Robert Loggia. Can never say his name right.
Oh my God, I've been saying that wrong all along then. Margaret Collin was Jeff.
Yeah, Margaret Collin was yeah.
All right. So all right, everybody. Yeah, with all the listeners that were yelling at the podcast earlier, that was my fault.
And like I mentioned before, Harvey Firestein, James Rebhorn, that guy's a really good actor too. He always plays this kind of quirky character. He was the assistant, one of the White House guys, you know, like he knew about the aliens and didn't tell the president about it for a while. And then he gets fired. That was awesome. One of the Baldwin brothers is in it, Adam Baldwin, as a
major.
He played it off, Major Mitchell. Vivica A. Fox as Will Smith's girlfriend in the beginning, right? Yeah. And then they end up getting married or something, right?
They got married right at before they started the attack.
You've just got a huge cast of all these. Harry Connick Jr. More comedy relief right there, which I love Harry Connick Jr. as an actor. I mean, he's amazing musician too, but I really like him as an actor. I've seen him in a few things and he's really good at what he does. He's a very talented guy. I think that's about all the bigger names that are in it, but it was very well put together. So, did you want to talk about Will Smith, or can I
can
go
you
on another? Go can on. I go on a little tangent just about? So, I remember seeing the previews in a theater, and I was like so fired up and excited to see this movie. And when I did end up seeing it, I know I went to the theater to see it. And I was not disappointed. I thought it was everything I was hoping it would be. It was really a fun movie. But I just remember seeing the previews of the White House being blown up, you know, the big spaceship coming through the clouds. And I swear to this day, you can't help but look at some clouds and go, is the spaceship going to come through that thing or what? Like, it looks that intense. Some of the storms, especially down here, like we get some radical storms that pop up out of nowhere, and the clouds down here are just insane. I know in the Midwest, we've seen, I remember seeing some pretty good storms roll through. I don't know about the Northwest up by you, Rose, but. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's more, I don't know if you guys have like these intense storms or if it's just raining and cloudy all the time.
Yeah. We very seldom ever get the intensity, you know, like they do in the Midwest with the thunderstorms and things like that. And if we do, people kind of lose their minds because they're not used to it. So they're out looking for, you know, shotgun shells and toilet paper. And...
Yeah. See, down here, it's in every afternoon. Every afternoon, it's like in the summertime, you can see, like from where I live, if you just look east, it's building up just off the coast you know, just in, or not off the coast, in inland a little bit. It the way the like the barometric pressure and the humidity and stuff, it builds just maybe 5 miles east of us. We're like, we're very close to the west coast, like less than a mile, if you, you know, as the crow flies. But you can see those storms building in the after, late afternoon on a summer day. And I swear, I look up there and go, there's an alien ship going to come right flying right out of that thing. That's insane. So yeah, it's very cool. It's just that image of when it first breaks through the clouds, you know, on the movie, when it just first breaks through those clouds, you're like, wow, that was incredible. The imagination that went into this movie, I thought it was really well done. So anyway, do you want to talk more about it? Total tangent. I apologize.
I remember the trailers when, or the trailer when it came out, and it was more of a in shock kind of thing, but not only because of what you're talking about, where you have the aliens first emerging from, the cloud, mm-hmm. The clouds, but, it was like, oh my God, they blew up the White House.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that wasn't expected. What the hell is this movie about?
Yeah.
So I remember that was they did a great job with the trailer, to showcase that as kind of the, you're in for a roller coaster if you come see this movie. And I just remember, appreciating the marketing that went into that. And they didn't even show all the great, the greatest scenes from the movie. It was just the intensity. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything about the trailer around, what we've talked about with the comedic elements.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a lot of the comedy in the trailer either. It seemed more of a, an intense, like, horror movie that more like, I think I probably expected more like what happened with War of the Worlds when, Tom Cruise's movie came out. Right. I know that was from years and years ago, but the Tom Cruise version of it, which I thought was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked it. There was no comedy in that one. There was zero comedy in that one. And it was, so I think I was kind of expecting that kind of a movie, versus what, what really went on.
Makes it a really good movie, though, is because it was surprising.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You weren't expecting that. You went to the theater and you watched this thing for the first time and you're like, that's not the way I saw this going.
And the special effects were all great. It was a lot of fun alien warfare and crazy stuff and yeah. So yeah, I think I expected it more to be like the way the War of the Worlds ended up being.
I'd read like somewhere in the trivia that this had, it had gone on the record book as using the most models to make the movie, and it probably it'll probably be a lasting record, because with everything that's being done with computers nowadays, you don't have to make models. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this may have, this may go on record book as being the movie that, has used the most models, practical effects, that kind of thing. No one will have to do that anymore, but I mean, they made it look really good. I'm sorry, about the ensemble, was there anything that you wanted to throw in there, Rose?
I just really liked the choices for, I don't want to say they went obvious on certain ones. Robert Loggia has played military before and he's really good at it. So you can almost guarantee that's going to be a good role for him. Of course, Randy Quaid, his weirdness and, his outspoken demeanor. Harvey Fierstein is really good at, oh my God. What are we going to do? Kind of a thing.
Oh my God, I got to call my mother.
I know. I call my mother. Will Smith, I can't. There's like not enough time in the world, you know, to talk about how much of an impact that he had on this movie. And it was actually very, for all the years afterwards, that they wanted a sequel and they finally got it. He wasn't able to be in it, the second one. And it was like, you know, like, oh man. But, that's like a whole different story. But Bill Pullman, see, this is the thing that gets me. These are the two surprises that shocked me. Bill Pullman was the president of the United States. And the first thing I said was, are you serious? What? this is the best you could do? This better be a good movie. That's all I'm saying. Because this guy, oh my God. And he just nailed it. He just brought his A game. If this wasn't like the best movie he's ever made, it should have been. Because it was just, he owned it. He totally owned it. Him and, you know, Mary McDonnell as husband and wife. You know, I love her anyway from anything she does. And just, you know, to be able to see such a strong cast, even the supporting cast was really strong. Everybody was just on it. I really enjoyed. And I think that's probably why I've seen it so many times. And to know how many times I've seen it, and then have Richard, when he finally, you know, we meet in 2000, and he comes over here with all of his stuff. He's got this huge movie poster encased in a frame of Independence Day.
Really?
I'm like, yeah.
That's cool.
I'm like, yep, see, we were meant to be together. There's a lot of people that like this movie, but you know, it's just one of those things that you just remember. And I was actually I didn't really want them to do a second one, but it was just like, you know, the fans wanted it, and it was just like, oh, but they did it pretty good. You know, they did a pretty good job, but it wasn't the first one, but it kind of did its, what it was supposed to do.
So. Now, I had to disagree with you about this being Bill Pullman's best role, though. I mean, it's got to take second seat to Lone Star, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, you do that. Okay? You go for that.
The genius of Spaceballs cannot take second fiddle to...
May the Schwartz be with you.
Well, yeah. That takes second fiddle to Independence Day.
Wow, that's fun.
But, I really like... What we're going to do is we'll edit in the speech that he gives.
Oh, please do, because it's really a great speech. I love it.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring.
It is.
Yeah.
He's, you know, just the delivery, and he feels like he would be the common man's president.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know, that's the kind of dude I want running things, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right. When you first found out that he was cast in this role, you were like, really? Bill Pullman? Lone Star? but no, he did it really well. He did an excellent job. And yeah, like I said, the speech that he gives is just phenomenal to me. Very inspiring and believable, you know, for his character delivering it. Kind of like, you know, he's watching everybody and you can tell they're nervous and, you know, they're about to have this, you know, attack on the aliens, and he's like, well, I've got to say something here, and, you know, let me do that. You know, it's like no speechwriters, no, like, you know, extra attention going to that. It was just grab the mic, and then you realize why he got the job.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, exactly. Yep, that's what everybody needed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's go kill ourselves. now I want to go. I was going to the genius that is Will Smith. And I want to draw a comparison. I think that, you know, the humble beginnings, if you will, you know, you look at, you know, a great actor like Tom Hanks, you know, and his start was Booze and Buddies. Will Smith, Fresh Prince. And, you know, that's where he was. That was the, you know, in comedy, in, there's no way you would have seen him as a, you know, a formidable actor in these blockbuster movies like this. And I say like this because, you know, you go past here into like Men in Black. And, what was the one that he was with, shoot, there's so many other movies that he's been in, but I'm trying to think of one specifically. And it escaped my brain.
Yeah.
What's the plot?
Pursuit of Happiness. Pursuit of Happiness is
buddy,
one of my favorite.
Yeah, a buddy cop movie is what I was thinking of.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, yeah. Wow, and I just looked at his IMDb, and it looks like Bad Boys 4 is announced. How about that? But yeah, I mean, so many different things that he was in that, you know, I loved him in Hitch, iRobot, you know, Legend of Bagger Vance.
I liked him in Hancock, actually.
Yeah, Hancock. Yeah, actually.
Hancock was very, like, that was kind of a sleeper.
Yeah. I think
that was,
that was really good.
That was one of his surprise roles. I thought it was hysterical. And it was, it was a nice poke, poke of fun to, the heroes of the day or the superhero movies that were all hitting the scene. And that, it was just kind of, you know, good comedy.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know, to my point though, I mean, I just didn't see, you know, when I saw him as Fresh Prince, I didn't see him becoming this. Much like when I saw Booze and Buddies, I didn't see Tom Hanks becoming what he became. So he's doing something right, you know, and he's got the, you know, the abilities, you know, the acting abilities to pull it off. I think he's a fantastic actor, and I'm just glad that, you know, he's continually, you know, to do great things. You know, I'm not on board with Wild Wild West, but outside of that.
That's okay.
Yep. That, that was kind of a just a stupid movie. But, outside of that, yeah, I think, he's a great actor.
I had a hard time with that one too, only because I really liked the TV show. And, I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting it to have that dry humor, you know, and the gentleman that played Artemis Gordon to be actually funny, but, you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Will.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's somewhere along the line, script or production or director or something. Somebody took a wrong turn on that one. I'm not blaming Will for that one.
I always liked the song by Timbuk3.
Well, there you go.
I think that's who it was, right? Timbuk3?
For Wild Wild West?
Wild West. No, that's Shades.
Yeah, that was somebody else.
Thinking,
Future's so bright, gotta wear shades. That was Timbuk3.
Yeah, that wasn't in that movie.
Who did Wild Wild West?
Wild Wild West song.
The song.
Wild
West.
Well, Will Smith?
No, it was a different one. It was like 89 or 90 something.
Oh, you're talking about before the movie, I'm sorry.
No, I avoided that movie, actually, Wild West, that was.
Yeah.
It looked ridiculous to me.
Escape Club.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah. Which I have a feeling that.
Glad we're not playing Jeopardy.
I'm sure that had nothing to do with that movie, but yeah, we went a little bit too far off of Independence Day. So Will Smith, you got any commentary, Rose, about him?
He's amazing. He is truly very gifted. Not only is he an actor, he's a rapper. He's got accolades. just, you know, all over the place, doing things. I think he produces as well. And his, I love the movie I Am Legend, only because a lot of people, I guess, don't know that it was a, kind of like a remake of The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. So the book I Am Legend, if you ever get a chance to read it, is just phenomenal. It's difficult, I think, when you have an actor, you know, like Tom Hanks, you know, that can sit there and talk to a volleyball, you know, in Castaway. I mean, it's hard, I think, to come up with new and fresh ideas to be by yourself someplace and, you know, and make the scene interesting. So when he's, has the dog in I Am Legend and he's, you know, associating with the dog and he's trying to get out there and fend for his life. And it's just, I don't know. It just shows you a different side of him. I think that not everybody sees, you know, everybody thinks, oh, Bad Boys and, you know, Fresh Prince and then all these other things that, you know, make him like solid. But he's got such a range that, you know, what is it, 8 degrees of separation? You know, where he plays the con artist that tries to get these people to believe that he's their family member. Oh. I mean, I don't know. I've no one seen that movie. It's pretty intriguing. And he's just done it all. I don't think there isn't anything he hasn't done. Or if he hasn't, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll come. He'll be like, hey, I haven't done that yet. So he's an asset to Hollywood, and I think he's an amazing human being.
Yeah, I guess I just figured out what you were talking about with Wilson is actually a volleyball. What? But Scott, what's your thoughts
on Will Smith?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've liked a lot of the stuff he's done. You know, like I mentioned, Hancock and Hitch was funny. Trying to think. There's one more.
Hitch is one of those movies that when I go by and it's on, I stop.
Really?
Yeah. I really dig that one. It's just a really, it's a fun movie. But
I'll say I think maybe his best performance, just my personal favorite, was his interpretation of Muhammad Ali. I just thought it was very, he was believable, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm always a sucker for like true story stuff, you know? Things that are, that stories about people that were really part of our history that we know. And I just thought he was, I would have never picked him as a casting agent on the forefront of it, you know, knowing that he's a funny guy. He's more funny than anything, but I thought he did really, really well as Ali. That's just one of my favorite roles that he's done. A lot of his other stuff, you know, he's been in the business long enough to where he's really matured and stuff. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Okay.
I'm glad that he still reaches into his, you know, the comedy bag every once in a while. Like a lot of these people that started off in comedy, they go into the serious roles and they never dip back into the comedy thing. Like, I would love to see Tom Hanks do a comedy again.
Yeah.
He actually, I don't know if that's even on his radar anymore. It should be, though, because I think that'd be good.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and Will Smith still throws in those movies every once in a while. Now, of course, you have, like, the serious ones like Ali and what was that other one that he donated his body to science or something? Oh, gosh.
7 pounds.
7 pounds, yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a hard, like, that was a serious movie. Very serious. But interesting. And he did a good job on it. So, anyway, that's how I feel about Will Smith.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have to make a correction.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 6 degrees of separation, not 8.
Okay.
I knew it sounded wrong, so I had to look it up.
I thought it was 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that too.
Ooh, bacon.
He was probably in it. I don't know.
All right, so let's go. What's your favorite scene of Independence Day? Rose, kick us off.
Oh. Well,
there can be only one.
That's true. It's gonna take me a minute because I have quite a few. Can I tell you which is not my favorite scene?
Oh, that's a different angle. Go for it.
So when the alien ships come out, you know, and they're all rumbling and the kid comes out and he's playing and Will Smith is there at the house with Vivica Fox and he's looking at the ships. The kid's looking, he's shooting at the ships with the fake gun and she's like, babe, you want some of your coffee? And it's like, she's like, babe. And then she finally turns and she sees the ships and her mouth drops open. Why the hell didn't she drop a cup of coffee? Seriously? I would not have held onto that coffee. I'd be like, shit, we're out of here. Fuck this coffee. I'm gone. I always had a problem with that. That coffee, the mouth opened, coffee dropped. That's the way it should have been played. Sorry.
So I have a problem with them inserting a virus with a computer. You have a problem with the coffee. Uh-huh. Scott, where are you at? What do you have a problem with in this movie?
You know, I'm kind of with you on that one, Dave. The communication between our technology and their technology, it's really far-fetched. Like that, us being able to just insert a numeric virus into their system is just... You know, they've apparently got enough technology to travel across galaxy or however many, you know, from wherever to get here with a ship that basically is all these ships, a bunch of ships that basically block out the moon. You know, I mean, the idea that, and this is 1990, what? 96?
96, yeah.
Right? This is, you know, what, 20 plus years ago. Our technology 20 plus years ago was far more prehistoric than, it was nowhere near what it is today. And even today, our technology would be like, I don't think we could pull it off. So I'm on board with that. I that was the one part of the movie that I didn't like. That, oh yeah, we could just go up and drop a virus in their system. No problem.
Now, if they would have thrown like Microsoft patching or something on it, then that would have been another story. I would have been like, okay, I get that. okay. So Rose, did you come up with your favorite scene yet?
Yes.
Okay. What's up?
It's Will Smith, and he just shoots down the alien's ship, and he gets in there, and he's raising all kinds of hell, drags him out of the ship by the parachute, and he's like, he'd come up here all big and bad, starting shit and all this other stuff. I could have been at a barbecue! And he kicks up, and he goes, what the hell is that smell? He's just all kinds of ranting. That's great because, you know, the thing is dead or alive or whatever. He's just pissed off that he could have been at a barbecue. and the smell is just way beyond his comprehension. But it's just, you know, classic frustration. I mean, who hasn't been that frustrated to where you start asking all these, you know, crazy questions and just thinking about all the places or things you could be doing instead of being right there. Yeah. Not the fact that he crashed his own plane and he barely got out alive or anything like that. You know, and maybe it was a level of frustration that that happened, that he took it out on the alien, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess I could relate. I think I've been in stressful situations lately that I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Maybe to a certain hotel clerk. But, but no, I get your point though. That was a very classic scene where he's sitting there yelling at the alien, mm-hmm. you know, and just spewing, you know, the frustration, taking it all out on this, you know, what could be a dead alien, mm-hmm. and it's gold. It is a great scene. Scott, what's your favorite scene?
You know, I think the opening of the shadow of the ship being cast, you know, as it's coming over the moon, it destroys a little satellite as it's going through, and the rumbling of the dust on the moon's surface, you know, making the footprints that were there kind of disappear, and just the buildup of the initial ships coming towards Earth. I think that was really just it was a really well done opening to really grab your attention on, oh wow, this is big. This is just huge, you know, this is gonna be it ended up being an epic, you know, blockbuster type movie. So I always like that opening scene. I always picture that little, the vibration of the dust and the footprint kind of settling in. Mm-hmm. It's always cool. So that was it.
Yeah,
how about you, Dave?
For me, it's kind of a twofold thing where there was the interaction between Will and Harry Connick Jr.'s character.
Mm.
And I just found that so funny. Like, there was this one scene where Will Smith is showing Harry Connick Jr. the ring that he was going to propose, and then Harry Connick ends up on his knees in the locker room, and then you have all those other dudes that are there looking at him, and it looks like he's proposing to Will Smith. And I just found that was kind of, it was just very humorous. But then there was another part where they're getting ready for their first assault, and he's like doing his imitation of Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And something about the Black Knights will emerge victorious once again. Mm-hmm. You know, he played it so well. Harry Connick Jr. was such a great character actor in this, and being the comedic sidekick to Will mm-hmm. Smith. And I appreciated that, you know, that role of him, and how well he did that, and their interaction between the two. It was like, you know, kind of a, the buddy pilot kind of a thing, you know, the mm-hmm. Maverick Goose kind of interaction mm-hmm. with each other. You could see that they had that history together.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are our favorite scenes. Is there anything else about Independence Day that you guys want to discuss?
No, I think I'm pretty good. I mean, this is I love the movie, and I'm glad we were able to talk about it. It's always been one of my favorites, and plus I'm just kind of a alien show, movies, whatever, sci-fi mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
So excuse me.
All right, Rose, any final thoughts?
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Nice.
Love that line.
For me, a lot of what we talked about with this movie is just, it's one of those things where you went into it with one mindset, and then when you're watching it, you were surprised. And this movie delivered on that. Having so many great comedic elements into it, but yet being a major blockbuster sci-fi / major action movie. And then they're able to weave that in with the interactions with all the different characters and the writing and the directing. Just overall, so well done for, a 1996 movie. I understand why it's still, maintaining to be one of the best movies of the 90s. I do appreciate its place in, our retro culture.
Yes.
All right, so I guess as we wrap things up, we'd like to do is take this time to remind our listeners how to get a hold of us. We have this thing, it's called a website. It's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiRetroClub.com. On that website, there is a link that you can leave us a voicemail. We'd like you to go do that. There's also links to our social media. So you can follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, all of those things. Instagram, actually something I've gotten better at. So there's plenty to see on our Instagram feed as well. So please go out and follow us along on all those things. On the website, we've also got this thing called Patreon. Scott, you want to tell us about that?
Patreon, it's a way to help support the show. If you like what you hear, help us continue to run the website and pay for all the things that actually cost money. It's not all free, and it's just a really nice way to see support. That is Patreon. Just click on the button on the website.
Very cool. Something else, since you're, if you're feeling generous and you do the Patreon thing, there's another avenue that you can help us, and that's by giving us a iTunes review. Rose, why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. So thank you to everyone who's gone on and subscribed to our podcasts and listened to our podcast. We appreciate that. We appreciate way more if you would leave us a review. And in these days and times, that's kind of the thing. Everybody has to get a review. The hospital where I work at, when we discharge a patient, that's one of the first things that we ask them. Can you give us an online review? Tell us about how we did, what we can improve on, et cetera, et cetera. So as a podcast in the plethora of many podcasts, we try and keep things entertaining and exciting for our listeners. So you find something that you really like that speaks to you, just go ahead and give us a review. Say thanks for the, the retro memories. And if you find something that just absolutely just gets on your nerves, try not to like kick us like Will Smith kicked the alien. in the movie, just say, hey guys, you got that wrong. It was this year, not this year. Or, because I'm notorious for that. I already know that I can't, remember one day to the next. But if I get something wrong and I didn't do it intentionally, a nice little nudge would be appreciative. So thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to hearing from you.
And just something that we wanted to do is, read like some past reviews. And I'm kind of scrolling through. We've only got actually 18, so we really haven't grown any since the last time we've been hitting up everybody. But just some stuff that we haven't read yet. We have one that says, Dave, Rose, and Scott are so fun to listen to. They bring up so many great memories. That's Munchies 1 that wrote that.
Thank you, Munchies 1.
We have Fun to Listen To, Great Show, Awesome, and that was Vaughn 22.
Well done.
And these guys are amazing. Highly recommend. Joshy 1022.
Thanks, Joshy.
So those are three that I know I haven't read before, but we'll get to some of the others next time around.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the time where I just remind everybody to be excellent to each other. Please do that for us. Be nice and sweet and cool. And then also have a great whatever. Because we have no idea when you're going to be listening to this thing. Bye.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.